Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Now we're going to go over to AJ Chagang, who is the attorney at Valley Chagang and Associates. Good afternoon, AJ.
Because we're talking about the Senzo Muwiwa case.
Yes, we're talking about the Senzo Muwiwa case, and we're talking about, obviously, the break that there's been 30-day break, and we are curious to know what is happening, what has happened with the five suspects. Please, can you sort of give us an update?
Well, as we know, the break really happened fundamentally because of the arrest of Edward Tetu, which I think everybody agrees was quite bizarre in the circumstances.
AJ, can I just ask you, sorry, Kathy here, just before we get to that, was the break not established before his arrest, before the advocate's arrest? Did they not already go into a break for a month before his arrest?
I'm not really sure whether the court had, I can't really recall whether the court had actually adjourned proceedings for a certain period of time. It postponed it for a week or two. But I do know that a lot of it was exacerbated because Advocate Tefu had to defend himself against these charges of trespassing and the other charges that were leveled against him in Libra. And that has taken its own turn where he's asked for the recusal of that presiding magistrate. So, and it's Alice in Wonderland, curious syndrome that we're facing here.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs when there's more when there's more press about your lawyer than there is about your case.
About the case. I mean, this case goes back 8 years.
No, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. Yeah. And you know, one of the things that came out in the first days of testimony, and you'll probably remember this, AJ, is that it took the police 4 hours to get to the crime scene. This is the crime scene of the murder of the national soccer captain.
Yes. Now, I mean, anybody with any inkling of police procedure, and you don't have to be an expert, knows that the moment a crime is reported, irrespective of the stature of the victim, the first thing is to go to the crime scene as soon as possible, cordon off the crime scene, and ensure that the evidence is not contaminated. Now, that is particularly so with a serious crime like murder, because one does not know what forensics and DNA and all the other evidence might unearth if the crime scene is left untouched. The minute unauthorized people enter there, or policemen who have no idea what they're doing enter there, really the chances of finding evidence that could lead to a successful successful pursuit of the suspects and their subsequent conviction is really diminished. So a lot can be said about negligent police work, not only in the Senzo matter, but in matters right throughout the country, in all sorts of matters. Particularly in, you know, in white-collar crimes such as fraud, we tend to overlook that because it's not really publicized as much. But there also evidence needs to be preserved and proper forensic work needs to be done, similar to a murder matter, in order to really establish the true facts of the matter.
Absolutely. I mean, just the mere fact that the legal teams sort of agreed to put this on hold for a month. I mean, how can we put such a crime on hold for a month? I don't understand that.
Look, I mean, this is really great territory. Trials get postponed for all sorts of reasons. Matters get postponed for all sorts of reasons. It's not really unusual. We know in Senzo's matter, the matter has been a long time coming. The incident happened 8 years ago. But delays itself are not uncommon. Delays can happen simply because witnesses become available, unavailable, presiding officers become unavailable, the attorneys representing the various parties become unavailable. There's a logistical issue. I mean, there might be a blackout, power failure. All sorts of things can contribute towards the delay of a matter. Obviously, delay should be mitigated and shortcomings within the justice systems should be looked at as to why delays that are preventable. And there are delays that are preventable. A simple example is dockets that used to go missing in the old days before the introduction of electronic evidence. Now, those sort of delays have been minimized to an extent because we're not as reliant on hard paperwork as we were a few years ago.
Do you think that, I mean, once we're talking about justice and we're talking about delays in different cases, do you think that Jacob Zuma will ever see justice?
That's a loaded question. I mean, Jacob Zuma, we all know, should face trial. He said repeatedly he wants his day in court. The inference, of course, is inescapable in the eyes of the general public, that notwithstanding that he says he wants his day in court, his legal team has done everything under the sun to prevent him having his day in court.
Sure.
Whether he faces justice or not is a different question, because that would all depend, of course, on the evidence that is led. If the evidence that is led is sufficient to warrant a conviction, then he'll be convicted. It reminds me of the Diwani matter. You know, Shireen Diwani was convicted in the court of public opinion long before his trial even commenced.
Sure.
After his extradition treaty was completed and then he finally came to court, the state's case fell apart, you know, in the blink of an eye, and he was discharged of all the charges without even testifying himself. In other words, he was acquitted in what we call, in terms of Section 174 of the Criminal Procedure Act, where the state even failed to establish a prima facie case against him. So coming back to the Zuma question, yes, I think it's in the interest of justice, it's in the interest of society, it's in the interest of Mr. Zuma himself that he be brought before a court to answer the allegations. But whether that will result in a conviction, of course, will depend on the evidence that will be led at the hearing.
Yeah, I'm not sure that South Africa will ever, under the ANC administration, will ever imprison a past president. I don't think it's going to happen.
Just on that point, you know, it's not the ANC government that imprisons, it's the judicial system.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that the Constitutional Court had sentenced Mr. Zuma to a term of imprisonment for contempt. So that did happen very recently. Now, we can argue that, of course, he was released on medical parole, which was really, you know, fabricated. Those arguments can be made. But there are enough men and women on our judicial, in our judicial system, who will take their tasks of administering justice, to whether it's Mr. Zuma or anybody else, quite seriously. There are lots of good judges and magistrates out there.
Yeah. Well, one can only hope.
Yeah.
One can only hope. I mean, let's not forget the golf parole of Shabir Sheikh.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thank you very much, AJ Chagan. Thank you very much. And we look forward to speaking to you again. Well, isn't he lovely?
He is.
Isn't he just lovely?
Absolutely.
AJ Chagan is an attorney at Valley Chagan and Associates.